Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all, I accidentally, I'm trying to get my little iPad to work, and it's asking me, what can I help you with? I'm listening. I'm like, yes, Lord, I need your help. I'm so glad you're listening. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Did you notice that the heavens actually opened up? Did y'all come in the rain, in a downpour? Yes, may what's happening in the natural happen in the spirit as well. Let there be an outpour. Don't hold back, Holy Spirit. Come on, come on, come on. My name's Rika McRoy. Hey, if we haven't had a chance to meet, it is such a joy to see you and to be in worship with you as part of your teaching team at Cove Church. So we are in a series, Stand, that is a series out of the book of Daniel. Last week, if you were here, we were encouraged that we as children of God are called to stand out, not to blend in, not to conform, not to be thermometers, but to be thermostats who engage culture, who transform culture, who aren't afraid of the world, who love the world as God loves the world. And today we are going to be encouraged to stand up. So I have a question. Why y'all sitting down? Let's stand up again for just a moment. I know we're going to do things counterculturally, a little bit differently. So there's a prayer that I pray. I pray it in the mornings. I pray it before I speak, and I put it on a slide this morning. So I want you to take an opportunity just to read through it and make a decision, and know that you are free and loved either way. But if you want to join me in this prayer, I do it this way. I keep my eyes open, which you would have to read it, and I stretch out my hands. It's just a reminder that I can't do anything without God and anything without his people. So we're in this together. So this is the prayer. You are welcome to join me. Jesus, I want to know you, and I want to make you known. So with all that I am, and all that I have, and all that I say, and all that I do, will you, King Jesus, have your way in me today? Because it's in your beautiful and mighty and holy and majestic and eternal name that I hang all of my hope. Amen and amen. Don't sit down. We're still standing. If you have your Bibles and if you want to, if you're kind of a visual person, you're welcome to open to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And before we begin, I want you to just shake it off. Do it with me. Shake it off. Come on now. Shake it off. Anything that you know about this story, which for some of you that might be a very familiar story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the story of the fiery furnace, I want you to shake it off because sometimes familiarity can be our enemy. And this word is alive and active, and God has a word for us that is new today. So whether you've heard this story 1,000 times or 1 time, shake it off. Just to invite God to do what he needs to do in your heart personally today through his word. So here we go. We're going through it. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Y'all, that's big. That's big. And he set it up on the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. Then he summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Y'all, all the important people were there. All the powerful people were there. All the fancy people were there. All the people who mattered, all the people who had influence, all the people who could make decisions, they were there. And so they come, satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, you know, a herald is a messenger of news. That's what a herald does. And so he proclaims this news. This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations of men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, because there is all kinds of music that are vying for our attention and our ears that demand to be heard. All kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Isn't that what we're challenged with day in, day out? Is it true that you will only worship the one true God? Is it true? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king, the God we serve, the same God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is able, and he will. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king. We want you to know, O kings of this world, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the 3 men firmly tied fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we had tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the sons of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, precepts, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed, and their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him." They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any God except our own. You may be seated in the natural, but I encourage you to stand up in your spirit. So this story of these boys, sometimes I think can be reduced to maybe like a comic book story or a fairy tale or something that we hear in Sunday school, and we forget that they were real, flesh and blood, ordinary people just like you and me. They were about 14 to 16 years old when, with their friend Daniel, they were captured from their hometown, a city called Jerusalem, which means the city of peace. It was heralded as a gateway to heaven, God's city. And God had warned the people, if you turn away from me, then you will be taken into captivity. And they were by the nation of Babylon. Babylon. Do you remember where Babylon got its name? There once was a time where there were a group of people who all spoke the same language, and they decided that they could be God. They could reach God on their own. And so they started building a tower higher and higher and higher. And God confused their languages and scattered them. Babel, the Tower of Babel, became Babylon. So they moved from a place of peace to a place of confusion. They were not home, but they remembered who they were. So you and I, as followers of Christ, are a people that are of and from a city of peace, the city of God, the gateway to heaven. And we talked about it the last time I was with you, that we are not yet home. This earth is not our home, but it will be. And so how is it in the midst of this confusion that we have clarity? How is it that we stand up when everyone else is willing to bow down? This is a truth that I want to encourage my own heart with and yours with, and that's this: the power to stand up when everyone is watching is developed when no one can see you. The power to stand up when everyone is watching is developed when no one can see you. Make no mistake about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were prepared for this moment. In the day in, day out rhythm of their very ordinary lives, in going to school, in the work that they had, in serving within the government, in the choices that they made about what they were going to eat and not eat, in the choices about what they were going to listen to or not listen to, what behaviors they were going to engage in, day out, those little choices added up for them being able to stand in the day of trouble. And so sometimes I think we wait for these big heroic moments, like what would happen if I, like my brothers and sisters in Christ, were placed in a place of persecution where perhaps I was asked, will you deny Jesus or will you die? And I will say, no, I will live for you. We think and we dream and imagine about these big moments and we forget about the little everyday moments that prepare us for that day, if and when it comes. So what were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego willing to do? They were willing to stand up with integrity. This is a word that is lost in our world. It is uncommon to stand up with integrity. Integrity, I'm a word nerd. It actually comes from examination, an ancient practice of examination of a piece of pottery or clay, because pottery bowls were so useful. They were so important. And so for that pottery or piece of clay to be sound was really important. So when you would go to the marketplace, you would examine it and look for cracks. And sometimes there was a practice of taking a broken vessel and taking a little bit of mud and a little little bit of water and just covering up the cracks and then selling it as if it was just perfect and whole. And then you would get it home and you would try to use it, you would test it, and it would fail. It would shatter, it would break apart, it would leak. And so if a piece of pottery was able to hold its own, it was called a piece of pottery with integrity. Integrity, being whole, being complete, not having any cracks. It was solid. It had integrity. And so what does it mean to be a person of integrity? For you and I, being a person of integrity does not mean we are perfect. It means that we're honest about the cracks. We don't try to cover them up with mud and clay and pass ourselves off as having gotten there. We trust that we need the grace of Christ right here, right now. But yet, God's word says, hey, you broken vessel, cracked pot, I'm willing to deposit my power in you, an earthen vessel, a jar of clay, so that the world will know that this all-surpassing power doesn't even come from you. It comes from me. So you and I, despite our imperfections, are able to be people of integrity. People of integrity. People whose words, actions, values, beliefs, character are consistent. We're one, the same. I'm the same at church as I am at home, as I am at school, as I am in my car, as I am in front of my computer, as I am in at the football game, as I am in the locker room. I'm the same. I'm a person of integrity. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to stand up with integrity. It's when all of our lives become integrated, interconnected. There's not a church me and a work me and a car me and a at home me. It's all one. I am a person of integrity. What I do, what I say, how I act, how I believe, it's accurate. And it's a true reflection of what's on the inside. Proverbs 17:3 says this, "The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." The Lord tests the heart. And so day in, day out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to submit themselves to the fire, the furnace of God's inspection. Their name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as Pastor Ryan indicated last week, weren't even really their names. They were the names that the Babylonians gave them. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, which means Yahweh has been gracious to me. And it was changed to a name, Shadrach, which means I am afraid of God. And then Mishael, his name meant who can compare to my God? No one. And his name was changed to Meshach. I am despised, contemptible, and humiliated. That's what the world wanted him to believe. And then Azariah was his real name. We know him as Abednego. It means Yahweh has helped me. And his name was changed to servant of Nebu. They refused. They refused to take any other name but child of God. And day in, day out, they were tested. They were tested. God gave them this command as a people, love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And he gives us that same command. Be people of integrity. It doesn't mean being perfect, but it means being honest, transparent about our need for the grace of God. Daniel 3:16, we see this integrity in a big moment, a public moment. They were so sure of who they were that they were able to reply to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." Do we notice how they do it? They weren't disrespectful to the authority that God placed over them because our leaders are placed in positions of authority. And whether they agreed or disagreed, they weren't going to disrespect him. They didn't incite a riot. They didn't rant on social media. They didn't judge the others who were kneeling. They didn't boycott Nebuchadnezzar. With humility and meekness and power, they refused to worship any other god. They stood up with integrity, and they stood up with conviction. With conviction. This is not the same as an opinion, because opinions can be shallow. Opinions can be worth the text that we write them on. Opinions don't matter for anything. Opinions can change, but convictions are different. The very word itself, it's broken out into two words. The first part means to be grounded. It's the foundation. It's what our life is built on. And the second part means that which we have settled. It's immovable. You're not going to change my mind on this. Convictions, no matter how old you are, you have them. I have them. We have these things that our lives are anchored to. Our very souls are anchored to. And if you want to know what your convictions are, if anyone not wants to know what your convictions are, all they have to do is watch your actions. Not your words, your actions. They reveal our convictions. It's a deep belief that I'm willing to lay my life down for. I won't compromise no matter what. I might lose popularity because of it. I might become lonely because of it. I might suffer economic harm because of it. I am willing to lay down my life because of it. It is a deeply held belief that is anchored to our soul. It is not an opinion. It does not fluctuate based on emotion or circumstance. It's immovable, and it's revealed through our actions. And it can be good or it can be bad. But either way, it moves us. It moves us daily. And so if we want to know what our convictions are, we just play a tape back of our actions in the last day, the last 24 hours. No matter what our lips say, our actions reveal our convictions. God says this: you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being people of integrity, didn't just worship God with their lips. They were willing to worship him with their very lives. Our convictions, good or bad, will change societies. Our convictions, good or bad, are what we are willing to suffer over. Our convictions, good or bad, are what we are willing to endure through. It's what we have attached our hope to. It's what we have trusted with our pleasure, with our satisfaction, with our safety. Our convictions reveal who we trust God to be in our lives. Our convictions reveal our idols. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says this: that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame. Don't you know that there are all manner of reasons that we can suffer that are cause for shame? Because we've held a conviction that, if I can just get some bodily pleasure, I'm going to be whole and complete. And so I'm willing to sacrifice anything for that. And I will suffer because of that. That's a conviction that can cause shame. Or I believe if I can just have enough, I'll go bankrupt over it. I'll spend my way. I'll debit my way there. But if I can just have enough, I can have some joy, peace, and satisfaction. It's a conviction that I hold so deeply that I bet my life on it. I'm willing to suffer for it. But yet it causes shame. But there is this suffering that Paul talks about that through this suffering, there is no cause for shame, because Paul says, I know who I have believed, and I am convinced. Like, you're not going to persuade me otherwise. You're not going to change my mind. This is not a shallow opinion. This is who I am through and through, and I'm rooted and established in Him. I'm convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. And so that idol in that case was a big one, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, but we don't actually know what the image was of. We don't know if the image was of Nebuchadnezzar or maybe one of the pagan gods of the day. And maybe, just maybe, it's because who the idol is doesn't matter. An idol is an idol is an idol. And whose mine are and whose your are don't matter. They're idols. And our God is jealous for us. He accepts no rivals because He knows there is no one like Him. We are created and made to worship. To worship. And we all will worship something. We will. How many teenagers are here? Would you raise your hand? If you're a teenager, raise your hand. My two are raising their hand. There's some back here. Y'all, these were real people. Not superheroes, fictional characters, avatars. They were real, like you. And they were far away from home. And I'm not really sure what happened. I don't know who was the one who told them about the one true God, but they were convinced that He is who He says He is. And they were who they said He was. I don't know who was the one who maybe shared with them this verse from Isaiah. Maybe it was their version of a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was their mom or dad. Maybe it was one of their doctors. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was their next door neighbor. Maybe it was a great grandmother. Maybe it was an uncle. I don't know who it was that planted these words in their heart, but I think they remembered these words from Isaiah that allowed them to stand up with confidence. When Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel. I believe that they remembered that to such a degree. They held it as a conviction to such a degree that in Daniel 3:17, they were able to say, if we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Stand up with confidence in who God is, and He has not changed. He has not changed. He is still able, and He still does. And they were also willing to stand up with courage. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a strong, sound mind. What would happen if you weren't afraid? What would happen if for one day the opinion of what other people might think had no power over you? What would happen if the love of God pushed out the fear of man? A day like this happens. A day of Daniel 3:18. But even if He does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Why were they willing to do this? Because this was the distinguishing factor. This was what was setting them apart as Israelites. This is how the world would know they belonged to God, not because they set a set of rules that they followed by, not because of what they ate or didn't eat, not because they were nice or not nice, not because of what they did externally, but because they believed that God was with them always. Do you believe it? Do you have a furnace in your life right now? Because I do. I do. I have a furnace in my life right now. I've been sitting in it for about 2 months. And sometimes God does not deliver us from the furnace, but He is always with us in the furnace. This is what sets us apart. This is the only thing that makes us different. My cutie pie mama, who is very Hindu, can be nice. She can be generous. She cannot drink. She cannot smoke. She doesn't do any of those things. But does she know? Does she know that God is with her always? How you and I who know this God, does that influence the little stands that we make day after day after day after day? So why did they do that? Because it was the distinguishing factor that the world would know that they were with God. And it proved true. They stood up so that others could see God at work. That's why we, if we're going to make a stand, let's stand up so others can see that God is at work. In the Daniel account, Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't worship it, you're going to be thrown immediately into the fire. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, oh, what God will be able to rescue? I'll walk in the fire. I'm willing to go. So that you may see him. So that you may see him. And Nebuchadnezzar did. He says, look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. That's called a theophany, a revelation of Jesus in the Old Testament. It's his story from beginning to end. When God says, let there be light, he's talking about Jesus. He's there. All of it is relevant. It all ties together. One big story. So we stand up so that others can see God at work in our lives. We give them a revelation, a theophany of who Christ is. We stand up so that others will know God is worthy of glory. He's worthy of glory. He's not an egomaniac who's just like, worship me, worship me, worship. No, he's worthy. He is worthy. And we see that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, comes to this revelation because he says, praise be to not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him. And they were willing to defy the king's command and willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except our own God. When we stand up, we want to stand up in a way that does not bring attention to ourselves, but brings glory to God because he is worthy. And we stand up in a way so that others can worship Jesus. We were created for worship. Could you imagine being a bird that was never able to fly? Could you imagine being a fish that was never able to swim? Could you imagine being a horse that was never able to run? You and I, if we are not in Christ, we are that fish that cannot swim. We are that bird that cannot fly. We are that horse that cannot run. Mission exists, one pastor said, Because worship does not. It's the greatest gift we can give a fellow human being, is an opportunity for them to worship. It's teaching them to run and to swim and to fly. It's the greatest treasure that we have to offer this world. And know this, the influence of those three men, it happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. But let's see where it meets a kingdom story. In Matthew 2, 1 through 2, remember how I took time to list the precepts and the satraps and the astrologers? In some of your Bibles, they are called the wise men. They were called the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east. And if you dig into this, so many commentaries say again and again and again, these wise men of the east were from the region of Babylon. Their family line were the satraps and the precepts, the astrologers. And maybe, just maybe, their great, 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 great grandfather told a story of being able to witness these three brave young men. And that story made an impact in another generation, in another generation, in another generation, in another generation, until one day, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." We can stand up for all manner of reasons, for our own pride, for our own recognition, for our own glory. Or we can stand up so that the world may know our King. The power to stand up when everyone is watching is developed when no one can see you. And so sometimes I think we can take these messages and we can be like, "Oh, great, and close my Bible and close my journal, and that was nice, and see you next week for part three." Or maybe we can be like, "Yeah, I'm all in, I surrender, yes, yes, Lord, you can have me, but not for the next 30 minutes. I give you my whole life, but not the drive home." You know what I mean? It doesn't actually impact the way that we live. So let's have some principles that the Spirit of God can infuse to transform us in the days and week ahead. We can develop integrity through consistent, godly actions. We have little flames that test us day after day after day after day. And we can pray this: "God, empower me to choose you every time." We can be receptive to how the Holy Spirit informs our conscience in those times where we're thinking twice about something, we're pausing to think twice about something, to say, "God, empower me to choose you every time." Developing integrity through consistent godly actions, we can develop conviction by knowing and applying the Word of God. You and I have access to the full counsel of God in multiple translations, in multiple forms. We can hear it, we can read it, we can download it. We have no excuse, we have access. We can develop deep convictions by knowing and applying the Word of God. What if we began praying with expectation, "God, give me an unshakable faith. God, give me an unshakable faith." We can develop confidence in God through His presence. Through His presence. They knew that God would be with them in the fire, so they went in. "Jesus, help me know that you are with me always." We can develop courage by experiencing the love of God. "Holy Spirit, fill me with more of your love today." the power to stand up when everyone is watching is developed when no one can see you. Are you running? Are you swimming? Are you flying? Do you know that you're not? If you know that you're not, take a stand today. Take a stand today. Because the one who is willing to go into the fire for us, so that we will not, cannot, it's impossible for us to be consumed by the flame. So that we are always in a win-win situation. Either we live for Christ or we die and we are with him always. We're in a win-win situation. That one still lives. And he is calling you today. Make a stand. Make a stand. And it can be a prayer, can be a conversation. For me, that day looked like an exhale where I was in a church service, sitting in the back corner, listening to words that someone was speaking, and I simply exhaled, I believe you, and my life was changed. And for those of us who know him, come on now, let's run, let's fly, let's swim, let's worship as people of integrity. People of conviction, people of courage, people of confidence, so that others may know the one who is King. Let's pray. Father God, I just can't even stand up anymore. There's no one like you. You spin stars and galaxies. You commanded it to rain today and it obeyed you. The raindrops obey you. The wind obeys you. You have all power. You know everything. You are everywhere. And you see us who is like you. You know every hair on our head. You hold up the jars of our lives and you see our imperfections. And yet you love us. Who is like you? You are worthy. You are worthy, God. I confess that there are areas of my life that I have not surrendered to you. Make me brave. Make us brave. Set us free. So Holy Spirit, rain on us. Come on. Come on. Come on. We linger here. We're not rushing out, God. We want you. We want more of you. There is no one like you. There is nothing this world has to offer that compares to you. Your presence is our treasure. We want more. Come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome here. You're invited. We need you to move. We want you to move. We want you to heal our broken places, God. You see us. You know our relationships that are fractured. You know. You know the places in us that we are not whole and consistent. You know what we do in the secret place when no one is watching. You know. So come, Holy Spirit. Come. Shine your light in our dark areas. Burn up those things that would bind us so that we can be free. There's no one like you, God. There's no one like you. Amen and amen.